بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 29th of April in the year 2021 But more importantly it's the 17th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan The day on which the Almighty and Glorious gave victory to his beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the noble companions on the blessed field of Badr and that was the greatest battle of all time a whole surah was revealed in honor of it surah al-anfal and because we're getting close to the last blessed 10 nights of the holy month of Ramadan the glorious deed of itikaf is coming around again So it's very important to highlight what is the itiqaf, what is its purpose, and what are the virtues. So first in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions it in various places. First in an unusual verse in Surah 21 verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ quoting Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, ما هذه التماثيل التي أنتم لها عاكفون What are these images to which you are عاكفون so devoted? So here Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam he was seeing people worshipping idols but he didn't say to them why are you worshipping them? Because why are you عاكفون? The word itiqaf comes why are you so devoted to these idols? So what's interesting is that in other religions they have itiqaf. Even idol worshippers. And where's the proof? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He said to the people, why are you so devoted to these images? So look how tragic that is. You got people doing itiqaf for wood, stone, brick. And where are the ones who are doing it for? Rabbul Alameen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another passage of the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ Whilst you are performing itiqaf in the masjid. So Allah ta'ala explicitly mentions it in the Quran. The same word that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used for the people worshipping idols. Aakifun. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wa antum aakifuna fil masajid. Whilst you are performing itiqaf in the masjids. In another place in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Masjid al-Haram. لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالْرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ For those who perform tawaf, itiqaf, ruku and sujood, i.e. around the Kaaba. For those who perform tawaf, itiqaf, ruku and sujood, i.e. around the Kaaba. So what four things or acts of worship does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention around the Kaaba? The first is ta'ifin, tawaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that on the holy Kaaba every day in Bayhaqi Hassan, 120 blessings descend. 60 of those blessings are reserved for those doing tawaf. 40 for those who offer salat and 20 for those who merely look at the Kaaba. So half of the blessings are for those performing tawaf. It's more rewarding than salah. The only deed that's more rewarding than salat is tawaf. So Allah Ta'ala mentions it here first. لِلْطَّائِفِينَ Tawaf. What does He mention next? He doesn't mention salat. وَالْعَاكِفِينَ اِتِقَاف Then He mentions salat. وَالْرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ So itiqaf is actually elevated over salah. So this is a hint to highlight how great the deed of itiqaf is. Right? So Allah Ta'ala is highlighting in the Quran that it's an extraordinary deed. It has a great place in my sight, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the following question. What is the purpose of itikaf? Every single deed we do has a purpose. So you ask, so let me ask, we're fasting in the month of Ramadan. What is the maqsad for fasting in Ramadan? What would you say? Attain piety, taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says that. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you may attain taqwa. That's the purpose of fasting. What's the purpose of salat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the key to all goodness. If you want the skeleton key to all goodness, salat. Without that, all goodness is locked away. So, hadith in Hakim. What's the purpose of Hajj? See, these are interesting things that we need to reflect upon. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just ask you to stand on one leg. He's giving you things for a reason. So what's the purpose of Hajj? What would you say?
Purify.
That's the reward.
To see things that will benefit you.
Right? So Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Hajj that you will see things that benefit you. That's the purpose of Hajj. You see the Kaaba, you see the black stone, you see the Maqam, you see the Yemeni corner, you see where the prophets are buried, you see Mina, you see Arafat, you see Muzdalifah, you go to Masjid al-Nabi, you see our beloved messengers, you see, that's the point of the Hajj. Now the question, what's the purpose of itikaf? And it's surprising how many people give you the glazed look, because it's Sunnah. I didn't ask you that. Allah Ta'ala has given you itikaf. There's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. So what is the purpose for itikaf? What would you say? The night of Qadr. It is to find the night of Qadr. Now think about that. This is a very important thing to highlight. You ask people doing itikaf, why are you doing itikaf? Sunnah. Okay, but why did the Prophet do itikaf? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes, because he liked to worship. He did itikaf to find the night of Qadr. So a whole surah is dedicated to the night of Qadr. Think about that. Not a verse, a whole surah. Surah Laylatul Qadr. But how do we know that that is the purpose of itikaf? In Sahih Muslim, number 1167, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah performed itikaf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the first of Ramadan to the 20th. And he said, in search of Laylatul Qadr, I spent the first 10 days of Ramadan in itikaf. And then the next 10 days, I was now informed it is in the last 10 days. Therefore, whoever now amongst you wishes to do itikaf with me should do so. Let us look at this. So this is in Sahih Muslim. He did itikaf the whole month of Ramadan. That's the sunnah. But we don't do that. Because the Prophet was telling you why he was doing it. He said, in search of Laylatul Qadr. Think about that. Look how valuable that night is. The Holy Prophet did itikaf the entire month of Ramadan. And then he said to the Sahaba, it's in the last 10. Any of you wish to now do it, you may do so with me. So the purpose of itikaf is to catch the night of power. So what do I mean catch? If you grab that night, you're successful. And the only sure way to hit it is itikaf. That's the only guaranteed way to hit that blessed night. Why is it hidden? Why is Allah Ta'ala done that? In Tabrani, in his Kabir Al-Haytami and Majma' Al-Zawair Al-Hasan, Laylatul Qadr is hidden due to divine mercy. Why? Because if you knew the date and you still sinned, it would be disastrous. Secondly, the Prophet said, had people not left their salah except for that one night, I would now have told you the night. Two reasons. Why is it a mercy that Allah Ta'ala has hidden the night of Qadr? Because people are dulali, fruitcakes, they continue sinning. So imagine if you knew the night, you'll get some Muslims, believe it or not, they'll still sin. Only asking to get punished. So Allah Ta'ala in His kindness has hidden it. Meaning they don't know. Give them an excuse. That's number one. The second directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he gave you the night, what would happen? He goes, you'd stop worshipping the other nights. And what's ironic is we're doing that without the Prophet telling us. 27th, brother. The Prophet didn't say it's the 27th. He feared that, because if I tell you the night, you would only worship that one night. And despite the fact the Prophet hasn't told us, we've still picked a night. So there's the wisdom why it's hidden. Third wisdom as well. Allah Ta'ala gives you the reward of your intention. So when a person is doing itikaf, he gets 10 Laylatul Qadrs. Because every night he's searching for it. So Allah Ta'ala is multiplying it in his kindness for you. As if one of those nights isn't enough. Think about that. So now when do you search for it? Somebody goes, okay, it's in the last 10 nights. But what did the Prophet say, if anything, said Allah Ta'ala? And what should we do during that night? You know, this is what's strange. People come to the masjid and they start looking at each other. He goes, what do you do tonight then? And then you go, what do you want to do, brother? He goes, I think I'll read a bit of Quran. Another person goes, well, I think I'll pray. Another person goes, let's do a circle, right? So what are you supposed to do? Is there anything from the sunnah? In Imam Ahmad's Musnad number 22,713, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is either the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, 29th, or the last night, the 30th. Whoever stands in them, stands, searching for it with iman and hoping for reward, and he is enabled with the grace of capturing it, then all his past and future sins are forgiven. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. The Prophet mentioned odd nights, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, and the 30th. The last night might be the 29th, but in case it's 30, it might actually be the last night, 30th. Then what did the Prophet say? He told you what to do. You stand in it. So a person goes, so just stand up. It means offer salat. So salat is what the Prophet encouraged. The rawi, the hajjat, salatul tasbih, nafl, whatever you want to pray. Even your qaza prayers for some people. What better night to offer the qaza prayers that you have to make up that you didn't foolishly do in the past. Whoever stands in them, well, you have two conditions. You have to have iman and you're expecting reward. Then what did the Prophet say? Look at how amazing it is. If it is the night of Qadr, past and future sins are gone. Not just past, future, meaning you're successful because you will die with iman. So standing is mentioned, meaning salat, focus on salat on that night. Somebody goes, brother, look, I'm a bit weak. You know, you get brothers, mashallah, he goes, I love to pray all night. So, okay, you can't pray all night. Look how merciful Rasulullah, you know, is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Ibn Adi and his Al-Qamil, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever prayed Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr in congregation, he has attained a greater part of Laylatul Qadr. SubhanAllah. Whoever offers Maghrib in the masjid, Isha in the masjid, and Fajr in the masjid, you've got the great part of Laylatul Qadr. Now this is important. You missed something. The Prophet didn't say all of it. Because you've got a great part of it. But in your heart, when you hear about that, what do you think? What have I missed? Okay, I've got a big chunk of it, but I want the full, you know, and there you go. So the Prophet did say, if you're willing to, if you're a bit weak, you know, you can't do all these great things, as they say, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr in the last 10 nights. Now what's shocking? People don't pray Maghrib in the masjid during Ramadan. Because I'm having my iftar, pakori and samosa. No problem, brother. But for God's sake, don't do that in the last 10 nights. Why? Because you've deprived yourself. Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr in the masjid. You've got a greater portion of Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Also, what about those who think, well, it's only a normal night. End of day, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive us. Everything's, don't worry about it. There's a problem. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever fails to find it is then deprived of all good. Indeed, only the real loser can remain deprived of the immense goodness of this night. SubhanAllah. This is in Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Bayhaqi, Mishkat, Sahih, in Sahih, Sunan An-Nasa'i, number 1,992. Look at the words the Prophet ﷺ is uttering. What's the first thing he said? You haven't lost good. You've lost all good. Kullu khair is gone out. You've lost it. We lose a fiber, we can't go to sleep. Right? Imagine it. Right? Is that more valuable than Laylatul Qadr? You lose your wallet, the guy needs to see psychological treatment. Right? And he goes, is that more valuable than Laylatul Qadr? The Prophet goes, you've lost all goodness. Now think about it, you're still a Muslim, you haven't lost your iman. But imagine you go to a person, oh brother, you know, did you do anything in the last 10 minutes? Because I'm a bit weak in it, I just did what I had to do. You can actually say this to him, I go, brother, don't take it personally. Nothing personal, but you're the ultimate loser. Then what happens? He takes it personally. After he calms down, he goes, why do you call me the ultimate loser? I didn't call you that. The Prophet called you that. He goes, you have been deprived. You are the ultimate loser. You deprived yourself of this ultimate bounty that Allah Ta'ala wants to give on one night of the year. So do we want to be losers? Think about that. You know, subhanAllah. So now what also can we do in itikaf? What other deeds are from the sunnah or the mustahabs? In Ibn Abi Asim, our beloved mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would perform ghusl between Maghrib and Isha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform ghusl between Maghrib and Isha. In Lataif al-Ma'arif, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anha said, he would perform ghusl every night of the last 10 days. He would perform ghusl every night of the last 10 days. And Ibn Jarir said, it is recommended mustahab to do ghusl between Maghrib and Isha in the last 10 days. Also recorded in Abdul Razak, Lataif al-Ma'arif. Now why is this important? Because when you enter some masjids in itikaf, it stinks. And then you think to yourself, Ya Allah, forgive me, they're better than me, they're doing it, they cough. But then you think, why does it stink? Right? And then you get really confused, you think, Ya Allah, I don't know what's happening. You got every right to ask that question. But what's happening? Oh, I'm doing it, they cough. His hair's out there, right? Sweaty armpits, right? Kuri stains going on his sawar kameez, right? And then you go, but I'm not being funny, but. Have you had a ghusl? And he goes, no, brother, I didn't have a wet dream. And then you go, oh, right. What I'm saying is, the sunnah is to have a ghusl every night. And then they give you that look again, they go, why do I need to have a ghusl? Well, first of all, you don't need to work it out. Rasulullah would do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu, think about that. Does he need to do ghusl? His sweat was shafa. Nothing but purity on the Prophet. We need to do ghusl, not Rasulullah. He's teaching us. In other words, if I'm doing the ghusl, what's wrong with you? Between Maghrib and Isha, that's interesting. Why between Maghrib and Isha? We don't question. Whatever the Prophet does, we do. The scholars say, if you can't do it between Maghrib and Isha, then do it during the night. And I think the wisdom here is, it prepares you, keeps you fresh for the night. You know, there's wisdom why the Prophet did these things. So this is another thing that's neglected now. Some people, you know, they go, oh brother, you can't do that. Why can't you do that? You know, once I walked into the masjid, they smelled of eggs. And I walked in, I thought, then a big tree of eggs. I saw a big tree of eggs. And then I thought, what's the going on? And then after that, I got used to it. You know, you get, you know, numb to the smell. Astaghfirullah. And that's why the scholars say, bring things in. Bring air freshener, you know, utter, you know, hygiene, you know, body order. Make sure that, you know, that nobody walks in and starts going. You should think, mashallah, it smells like Jannah in here. But be honest, how many times you've entered a place where there's a itikaf and you actually avoid the place where the muttaqif is sitting? You don't want to go there, brother. Why? Oof. He goes beyond that tent. You don't want to go, you know, is it bala behind there? Astaghfirullah. Also, another sunnah. In Abdul Razak Lataif al-Ma'arif, Anas radiyallahu anhu, he said, Laylatul Qadr is the 27th night. Thus, when it is that night, each one of you should perform ghusl. Break the fast with milk and delay the food of iftar till sahri. So let's look at this. How strange is this? So what did Anas say? 27th night is Laylatul Qadr. So the scholars explain, he goes, maybe that year he was 27th, because he moves. Then he said, when it is that night, do ghusl, perform a ghusl, break the fast with milk. Look how strange, milk. What's the wisdom of that? Because when you chew, you're wasting seconds. You got a kajur, what happens? It takes you about 10 seconds to, you know, but if you have a sip of milk, you saved a few seconds. Look at how the Sahaba were teaching you. Every second is precious. And then he said, and don't have your iftar until Sahri. Meaning, don't even waste your time to eat. It's too precious a night. What do we do? 10 minutes, well, 10 minutes. Before we start Maghrib, forget about, you know, little Qadr. And he goes, oh, you know what's happening here? On that night, brother, look, pray Maghrib. Look how they were teaching you. So as not to waste any precious moments of that majestic night. So obviously you don't need to do that. But the lesson there for this is, why are we wasting this night? You get some people, what they'll do is 27, even on the 27th they'll do it. They goes, I'll do 2 rakah nafal tajid. Right? And then you think, is that your investment for 27th? Because I still did something, didn't I, brother? Right? And you go, you're thinking, brother, you're complete poles apart from what the Sahaba were teaching you. You should think, look, this night, if I can't worship all night, I'm going to worship most of it. Then do what you want. Pray, read Quran, but make sure you're thinking, Ya Allah, I don't want to waste any part of this night. Why? Because Laylatul Qadr isn't a moment. It's called Layla. Night. The whole night is when you're on maximum wage. People think there's a moment. You know, I've heard people say, oh, there's a moment. What were you talking about? There's a moment, right? Because the Quran says Laylatul Qadr. Doesn't say moment of Qadr. The whole night. So every second, imagine what you're getting for every second. Khayrun min alfi shahr. Better than 1,000 months. Imagine your boss loses it and he's a trillionaire and you're a manual laborer and he goes to you, for every second you work tomorrow, I'll give you more than a lifetime of wages. Are you going to go, oh, well, I'll come in for the last 5 minutes in it, boss, right? You go, well, you just sign it, sign contract, right? So imagine you just 1 second, you do 1 second, and he gives you what? Lifetime of laborer's wages. He gives you more than that. Here's 200 grand. I think, oh, I'm set for life. I'm just going to work this one day, retire. You get that understanding for dunya. What about akhirat? You've got a night where Allah Ta'ala goes, I'm giving you more than a lifetime for every second. Are you going to waste it? Sahaba goes, get milk. Sahri, that's when we'll look. We're not wasting a second of this night. So they're teaching you, every second is precious. The problem is when you got people around you who treat the night as something small, then you start thinking like them. They have a gab shop. You see people, they come to masjid, mashallah, and they're cracking jokes. And you're thinking, what are you doing? Right? You go, oh, come to masjid, right? To do what? Right? You just get on with it. Do your ibadat. Especially on the 27th. What else? In Abd al-Razzaq in his Musannaf, it is sunnah of the Salaf to apply atr and wear good clothes on the 27th night. So on the 27th night, you should wear some very nice clothes, special atr. You actually look like it's like Eid for you, basically. Somebody might actually say to you, brother, is there still a few days left for Eid? They go, no, mashallah, 27th. So on the 27th, they would actually show their happiness. They go, Ya Allah, you've given us this night. So all of these things you should be doing on that blessed night. Don't forget, not just the 27th, most of the nights. So now, what are the signs of Laylatul Qadr? And this is what's really funny. People are obsessed with this. What are the signs? There you go. Tell me the signs. Right? Even if you found that, yeah, I'm going to give you the signs, inshallah. So what's the big deal? He goes, I saw the sign. Did you worship? Forget about seeing the signs. Think about it. The people doing itikaf, they catch the night of Qadr. Can they see the signs? So anyway, keep that in mind when I'm going through these signs. These are the signs. In Sahih Muslim, the sun rises without rays. So the next day, the night's already passed. That's a joke. Oh yeah, last night was, what is gone, brother? Because I saw the sun without rays. Well, you've lost the night. And then he goes, can't put time back. You got time machine, let's go back in it. Well, that's after, you know, like that, you know, dessert afterwards. Let's have a little, you know, kirna. You've had the main meal. You've seen the signs. There's no, you can see the sun. Number two. In Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Bazar, Ibn Khuzaymah, Hassan, in Sahih al-Jami, number 5475. the sun is weak and reddish. So you can actually see the sun, and it's reddish and it's weak. But again, the night is past. What did you see, brother? I saw the signs. Did you clear the last night? No, there was point seeing signs. Number three, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, it is a clear and calm night. You can't experience that. So the night is uneerily calm. And what's interesting, we're living in that part of the world where it's cold. It's coming to May. And some people say, oh, there's a bit of snow. It's a bad night. But on that night, no matter what weather forecast there is, it'll be a calm night. And it's always one night. People think, this is a strange night. This, what's happened? Where's the cold gone? Where's the wind gone? That's a sign. The fourth, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the moon is shining clearly. So don't forget, it's not a full moon. The last 10 is getting smaller. But if the moon is seen, it's sharp. It's sparkling. You think, why is the moon shining so bright? In Tabrani, Bayhaqi, Bazar ibn Khuzaymah, Hassan, Sahih al-Jami, number 5475. The night is neither warm nor cold. You can actually walk out with t-shirt if you're not doing a itikaf. You're thinking, hey, what's happened? Right? What's happened? You think it's an unusually warm night. Ibn Khuzaymah, the hadith says, the stars are visible. And it was interesting. Normally in the light pollution, you can't see the stars. But even on where there's light pollution, on that night, you see more stars than normal. You look up, you're thinking, why are there so many stars? Number seven, Tabarani, there's no shooting stars. Why? Because there's no shaitans. Shaitans are like, what were they doing? They're drowning in ocean, right? So there's no shooting stars. Number eight, there's little, if any, cloud, wind or rain. So there may be a slight drizzle. So you might get that like kind of unusual, what's this, right? Or a little breeze, slight breeze, or light cloud. This is in Tabrani, in his Kabir. So like I mentioned, don't be obsessed over the signs. Because you missed the night. You understand? The night, that is just to tell you that, look, did you worship last night? Yeah. Or the guy comes and he goes, look, oh yeah, the moon, it must have been last night, brother. So you think, alhamdulillah, I worshipped last night. This brother just confirmed it by telling me about the signs. So now, why is this happening on the earth? Because the hadith says, there are so many angels that descend on the earth on the night of Qadr, more than there's pebbles on earth. Meaning there's just billions and billions, if not trillions of angels on the earth. There's more of them on the earth than humans and jinn combined. Why have they all come onto the earth? Because it's a holy night. Allah Ta'ala loves this night too much. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَرَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. Question, rewards. Let's finish with this. What are the rewards for itikaf? Look how strange a question that is. Because the whole point of itikaf is to find Laylatul Qadr. So when a person goes, what's the reward for itikaf? And you start doing this, what's the reward? What's the reward? Are you a jockey? Right? What are you doing that for, right? And then you respond by saying, brother, that question shows that you're ignorant. The reward of itikaf is Laylatul Qadr. You understand? That's the reward. But guess what? There are rewards. Other rewards. In Tabarani Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2966, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one doing itikaf in Ramadan is then just like the one who performed Hajj and Umrah twice. Subhanallah. The one performing itikaf in Ramadan is then just like the one who's performed Hajj and Umrah twice. Imagine if somebody comes out from Hajj, he goes, Hajji Mabrur, I did it. We think, mashallah, if you did it, complete wipeout. Sinless as the day the mother gave birth to you and you got the keys to paradise. Then he goes, I did it twice. He says, brother, you're going to be a bit confused now. How do you do it twice? Is that the calf? If you've got a complete wipeout, is it month enough? If you take your car to the car wash and it completely jets, it looks like it's come off showroom, do you need to wash it again? Guess what? You've done it twice in the calf. And Umrah as well, two Umrah, according to the hadith mentioned here. What else? How many days do you do it the calf? 9 or 10. In Tabrani, in his Ausat, number 7326, Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 3965, Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawaid, 8-192, Hassan. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day of itiqaf for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he creates a distance of 3 trenches between his servant and hell. And between every trench, the distance is more than what is between the east and the west. You have to break this down. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? One day itiqaf. So meaning you got to multiply this 10 times or 9 times. One day itiqaf, you got 3 trenches between you and hell. So if you stop there, you're thinking, well, it's not much distance, is it? 3 trenches. But then the Prophet explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between every trench, so he's not talking about the trench. So imagine that's one trench, another trench, another trench. The gap between the 2 trenches, he's talking about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, between every trench, the distance is more than what is between east and west. Somebody goes, brother, where does east and west meet? They don't meet. So east and west means it goes on forever. Yeah, but it's more than that. One day they cough. 3 trenches. Between each trench, more than the east and west. Times that by 9 and 10. Right? So these are extra virtues mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And I'll mention the other virtues, inshallah, in the next. So all I mentioned today was basically, what is itiqaf? What is the purpose of itiqaf? It's all about Laylatul Qadr. That's all it's about in reality. What are we supposed to do when we're doing itiqaf? And even those not doing itiqaf, they should also strive to do as much as this as possible. Come to the masjid, do these deeds. And then of course I mentioned, what are the signs of the night of Qadr, which isn't really that important for this, but alhamdulillah we've been given this. And I've talked about some of the virtues which the Prophet mentioned in addition to what's been mentioned. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa atubu ilayhi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu alazim.